It's an instant classic of modern horror that teaches us all a valuable lesson. Never, under any circumstances, leave the city. Get Out was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Hello, it's the number one movie in America, concluding our spooky season here on Halloween Day, if you downloaded and listened quickly. If not, November counts. It's still fall. Last time we talked about the remake of Prom Night on many people's lists of the worst movies ever. And that might be an overstatement, but technically, it's on our list of the worst things we've ever seen. Yes. 23 was our final score. That's seventh from the bottom.
Ooh,
I thought we got lower than that, but only six times. Last place remains Transformers. The Last Night, 10 2/3 average score.
Wow.
So significantly worse than Prom Night. Everything is all right. Out of sight. Those are lyrics from the original film. That were heard 47 times. When it's building to the climax, there's one disco song that lasts 24 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And the only words are Prom Night. Everything is all right. Out of sight.
What was it? The 70s?
When? That 1980.
Was 1980.
So 70s plus. Mm-hmm. Kind of in the way that we're still lingering in the 10s a little bit.
Right.
Although the 2020 being the nightmare that it was kind of gave that decade a hard stop.
Yeah.
But that doesn't bode well for the rest of this decade.
No.
I'm wondering if that was such a hard stop that I'll never really like mentally digest the 10s, you know?
Because I don't think so.
I think of COVID and before that was like Britney Spears. Like, I don't know.
Right.
The aughts and the 10s are a mush.
It all means nothing to me, really. Like, I have no idea. Like, when we get to, like, when I was looking at when this was released, when Get Out was released, 2020, I thought for sure that we had, like, talked about it on this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in the You Can't Handle the Truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, we I was like, what the hell?
What happened?
And then
weren't recording this yet.
I know, right? Yeah. And I was like scrolling all the way back and I'm like, I have no idea. Time.
When did we? Like early
2019? I think 2018.
2018?
I think so.
Wait a second. It was when I was 35. Like our 10th episode was my 35th birthday.
That's right.
So I was born in 1984. So I would do math.
Right.
You were 30 for 19. Yeah.
So 2019.
Okay.
So 2019?
Yeah.
Okay.
Really? Is that all?
Well, I want to say, like, I guess the beginning of that year. Like,
I mean,
January.
I've been doing this show for 4 years longer than either of you. What? This isn't interesting. We're here to talk about one of the best movies ever, of the 21st century. What are your memories of Get Out? I went to a screening and was like, that was great. And then everyone agreed. It's pretty much that.
I mean, that's pretty much it. I think it came out the day before my birthday. And like up until like maybe a few years ago, every year around my birthday, I would get at least one solid horror movie that would be released in the theater.
Because like the Dead Zone.
Right.
The
post-Oscar
season Dead Zone.
Exactly. And even if it was a shitty movie, like it was still like, all right, this is for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember walking out of there like, oh my God, Jordan Peele, God bless your soul.
Me too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, with all Jordan Peele movies, I see the trailer and I'm like, oh, this might be too scary for me. And then I'm like, well, I'm going to see it anyway. Yeah. And then I remember being relieved that this movie isn't that kind of scary.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? But also, I had one of like those amazing movie going experiences where the theater was like fully on board and like people were reacting to everything.
Right.
And
perfect and powerful,
yeah,
was it?
Perfect and powerful.
Yeah.
Perfect and powerful.
Yes, it was so great. And it was like an afternoon screening. Mm. It was like unusual to have such a full theater, but you'll get into it with the facts. I think that it was enough of a success in its first weekend that made sense. When we talk about the ending, I'll revisit this subject.
Yeah.
I will say that both in the case of Get Out and Us, I saw it and I was like, wow, really good. 9 out of 10. And then on each rewatch, it gets better.
Right.
Yeah.
To the point where both of those, I'm like, I should have made both of those number one of the year.
Right.
you're right. I mean, the four or five movies each of those years that I ranked higher, I haven't rewatched four times. Mm. So who knows? But every viewing of one of his movies, you're like, this is hitting harder and deeper. And
right. Because mm-hmm. there's so much yeah. to digest
yep.
in the film. And it's not so much as to where, like, that first viewing, you feel like, I missed some stuff here. Mm-hmm. It's like you've gotten the first viewing, you've gotten a complete story, you've gotten a complete picture. And then you think, and then right. you come back and you're like, holy shit. For one of the things in this one was like when Rod is back at Chris's house with the dog, just for a split second, he's watching TV and the commercial is, you know, a mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Yes.
And you're just like, oh my God, I never. Mm-hmm.
And people often are like looking for Easter eggs and clues and stuff. And yeah. then Jordan Peele will be like, no, it's just vibes. Right.
Sometimes.
Vibes are important. Yeah. Well, he's so good at tone.
Yeah.
Yes. That's true. However, A Mind is a Terrible Thing to Waste works on its own. It's a catchphrase, I think, for the National Negro College Fund.
Oh, yes, cool.
It is.
And that's the voice of Jordan Peele talking.
Oh, is it? I love when that's people it. That do I that. Didn't
know. It's all Easter eggs.
You know who does that? Tony Goldwyn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everyone share your this time, I noticed. You know, they hit the deer, and I've seen people say he's upset because his mom was in a hit and run. That's what, mm-hmm. that's why he's reacting to. But what we're reacting to is he cared about the life that was being lost, and she was like, babe, let's just go.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then when they got there, her dad was like, I don't care about deers. They can all die for all I care.
Right.
I was like, everything is something in this yes. movie.
Although I will say, going back to your never leave the city, mm-hmm. growing up in a very deer heavy area, you really learn to hate those things.
That's a common object. Well, down in Mount Lebanon or something, they were like trying to figure out how they could legally just like declare open season from anyone on deers because they were on every street every day.
New Jersey, or my part of New Jersey, literally was like, we importing hunters from Pennsylvania. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then at one, because people in New Jersey don't hunt. And so at one point they were using birth control on the deer.
What now?
They were like giving the deer depo shots so there would be fewer deer.
What the fuck?
They caused so many car accidents. Anyway, I do care about lives.
My whole thing is like, bitches, we built up in their house. Like, right? Like, we... Like, it's a nuisance, sure. I respect the deer. Like, don't start nothing, won't be nothing. Like, our old house, we would come home and there'd be deer in our driveway. And I was like, you know what? You're right. Mm-hmm. Oh, we'll just go circle back.
That's how I feel about the raccoons. I'm like, you know, I know people are like, oh my God, they're terrifying. I'm like, yeah, a little bit, but like,
they're kind of cute.
We have all the power here.
Yeah. Little masks.
Yeah. And they have little hands. They're cute. I don't want to hug one.
Whenever I see one, I react positively but firmly. I'm like, hey, buddy, you probably shouldn't be here. Go on now. No, seriously, you got to go.
Scoot.
This has very little to do with the deer scene in Get Out. Although that got Peanut. Peanut was asleep on my lap, and when they hit that deer, he sprang up, which he doesn't usually do to a jump scare, but it's just that impactful.
There was
Jordan Peele even has an impact on tiny dogs. Mm-hmm.
There was a jump scare in one of the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, spoilers for You Can't Handle the Truth, that got both of my cats, and Sprig is still small enough that she could go under the couch, and she did.
And your poor other cat's just like, don't leave me!
Well, let's get down to it, starting with the 60-second recap. Oh. It's Camila's turn, and I want to underline that it was Camila's turn.
It was my turn!
We didn't gather here and say which of these three people should talk about Get Out. I apologize. It was your turn.
If you go back far enough, you will be able to track how the turns work. This is not intentional. Just my fortune.
And go.
Rose is taking Chris to meet her parents. She hasn't told them he's black, and that concerns him. His dad is trying way too hard to seem accepting of Chris and apologetic for having a black maid and groundskeeper. Regular weird stuff when you visit upper middle class older white family. Get out. Hypnosis is offered to help Chris quit smoking. He rightfully declines. That night he goes out for a smoke, witnesses the groundskeeper and maid being weird. Mom stops Chris and hypnotizes him without his permission, sending him to the sunken place. Get out. The next day there's a super awkward garden party full of white people asking Chris about golf and the black experience. He finds the one other black dude, starts to feel okay, but oh, nope, that dude is not family. Chris snaps a photo and the dude starts screaming at him, get out, get out. While Rose takes Chris on a walk to see the garden party is a modern day slave auction. A blind art dealer wins the auction. Chris learns the weird dude is a guy from the neighborhood has been missing. Rod tells him to get the fuck out, get out. Chris is trying to leave and finds a box of Rose's past lovers, including the groundskeeper and the maid. Shit goes left. left. He gets knocked out, wakes up tied to a chair. The family kidnaps black men and transfer old rich white people into their bodies. The fuck? Rod tries to go to the cops, but they don't believe him. Chris tricks and fights his way out. Rose almost gets him, but Grandpa Groundskeeper and Rod save the day.
Slightly over, but yeah. We'll allow it.
Yeah. I did. A lot happens.
Practice that one. And I cut so much out.
Yeah. You're out of breath.
I feel like it's been a long time since I've done one. Or maybe the last one I did, there was nothing that happened.
I think you riffed the last time, and that's a different experience. No, about an hour. An hour. It's like, yeah, you do need an hour to summarize. Because there's levels. You covered everything except Rose eating cereal one at a time, then taking a sip of milk.
Taking which is, through a straw.
Like, three sips. Like, very deliberate sips. The way she... Swallow. Sip, swallow.
That's all we needed to know that she was
right.
The actual, the deep evil here is, yeah. Is that moment. How uncomfortable. This movie makes me very uncomfortable about the way white people sound at all time. Because yes. Bradley Whitford's thang is the single most awkward thing I've ever heard. And then 4 minutes later, he says, there's the garbage, and I feel worse again. And then he does a bad French accent, and I'm like, we should never speak. We have
as
nothing.
As we record our conversations I to know. Share with the world, we should never speak.
That shit is real.
Yes.
I have experienced all of this except for being waking up tied to a chair, thank God.
Bradley Whitford did not know that I would have voted for Obama a third time was meant to make his character embarrassing.
I mean...
He is embarrassing.
Yes, I do. You know what? I am loving Bradley Whitford the older he gets.
Oh, he's great.
Like, I never paid any attention to him. What was he on? Like
The West Wing.
Yeah, that I never watched that. So I, you know, he just, but like something about him now is just like, yes, he's it's really growing on me.
Yeah.
And Catherine Keener as
Damn
a villain.
It.
Whoa.
She should only play villains.
Whoa.
She's like Jake Gyllenhaal, where I'm like, right. I am mostly interested. I mean, I haven't seen, what is it, Walking and Talking? Like the movie that made everybody love Catherine Keener.
Yeah, I don't think
she's a villain in that. But yeah, like she's so fucking good in Being John Malkovich, and she's so good in this. I think she should have got... it was a really, really heavy year for supporting actress, but she would have been on my ballot. You know who else would have been on my ballot? Betty Gabriel.
No, lady. God. Mm-hmm.
And she and Lil Ray Howery were both not in the SAG Best Ensemble list.
Really?
Or invited to the Oscars.
What? Oh my God. So what
Lil
Rel
got... Lil Rel got there because Jimmy Kimmel mid-show was like, are you looking forward to the Oscars? And he was like, no, we didn't get on the list. And Kimmel was hosting that year and took him.
Okay.
That's the only reason he got there.
But so the SAG thing, I looked this up and I could not figure out who makes that determination.
Mm.
Like if it's the studio, it's like, here's our list, nominate this cast. I'm guessing that's the case.
I think.
In which case, what the fuck? The other possible option is that they weren't in the union yet. Like in the way that Tarantino doesn't get nominated for Writers Guild because he's not in it.
I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, I can't imagine. I looked up Betty Gabriel.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like she's had a lot.
I feel like she should have a star turn. She's so fucking good in this.
When I was watching it, Mary Beth said, oh, I saw her in two things yesterday.
Oh, she does a lot of TV.
Yeah.
Well, she did. And she did other horror movies. She did. What was Mary Beth watching? Unfriended, Dark Web.
Yeah, that's it.
And you know, one other from about the same
time
period.
She did
a purge
election year.
Yeah.
And she did an episode of The Twilight Zone with Jordan Peele. That
okay.
Jordan Peele.
Oh, I forgot did. That existed.
Right? I keep forgetting it exists. Paramount Plus, like I don't, it's like a dead zone to me.
Yeah.
Well, since you mentioned awards, that's what most of the Faxi segment is. But first, Get Out was released February 24th, 2017. When's your birthday?
February 25th.
There you go. It was the fourth number one movie of that year with $33.3 million. Just a 1 week winner, however, due to Logan, the old man Wolverine movie Logan.
I mean, good movie.
Yeah. Came out the next weekend and it was not close. Logan made 88.4. Get Out made 28.6 in its second weekend, but it held along.
I mean, that's good legs.
Oh,
that's
it stuck around very well.
Retention.
Yeah, and it kept doing that.
Yeah.
Right.
It was in the top 10 for 2 months with very, very small drops each time. $176 million total, 15th overall for the year. And this is pre-pandemic. There were a lot of blockbusters coming out every year in the back half of the 10s. This made more than, for example, Kong Skull Island, Cars 3, whichever Pirates of the Caribbean, The Greatest Showman, a lot of things that were big hits did not make as much as this debut R-rated horror movie. So there you go. Also, Jordan Peele, very consistent in earnings. Get Out made $176 million. Us made $175 million. And Nope has made $123. That seems like the post-pandemic equivalent of $175 million.
Absolutely.
Just with the little drop-off there. But no misses yet, either in terms of quality or box office. Expensive Baubles.
Expensive Baubles.
Okay, so Best Picture.
Yes, lost two.
Shape of Water.
Yes.
Best Director.
Correct.
Lost to Guillermo del Toro.
Right.
Best Actor.
Mm-hmm.
Lost to Gary Oldman.
Mm-hmm.
What? I know.
For what?
Darkest Hour. You just, for our listeners at home, she just crossed and rolled her eyes. It was actually very impressive.
And I love me some Gary Oldman, mind you, but that didn't.
Oh, I'm going to talk about Bram Stoker's Dracula for an hour later. But
one Best Original Screenplay, which was one of those things where, like, it was the same year that Lady Bird was nominated, which, like, that movie, because I was 18 in 2003, right, speaks very closely to me. And so I would have loved to see Greta Gerwig win, but I couldn't be mad about that,
right,
like, at all. And those are the ones that I know.
Those are the four.
Oh,
it
okay.
was those four. That screenplay category.
Is that the one that's, like, something drama, horror, comedy?
Well, we're getting there. We're getting there. But original screenplay, this deserves to be on the list of best five nominees ever.
Yeah.
Because it's Get Out, The Big Sick, which is a fantastic screenplay, Lady Bird, The Shape of Water, and Three Billboards. I know Three Billboards is trendy to hate, but the script is excellent.
Nope.
I didn't see it.
There's... don't have time to talk. We do not have time to rehash Three Billboards, Sean. I have three Nightmare on Elm Street movies to talk about. Move on.
Just saying, this Banshees of Wherever is coming out, and everyone's going to turn right around again because he was just trendy to... Anyway, this is officially, and by officially I mean this is what people say, the sixth horror movie nominated for Best Picture, and two of them are stretches. The four that we can all agree on are The Exorcist, Silence of the Lambs, The Sixth Sense, and Get Out.
Rebecca?
Not lumped in.
Okay, I've never seen it.
But
like, it's
more of a gothic romance.
Okay.
People lump in Jaws. I think Jaws is a horror movie. A lot of people don't.
Yeah.
So count that as five. The other one that people mentioned is Black Swan.
Yeah, I think that's a horror movie.
I don't really think it's a horror movie.
I'm on the fence.
Okay.
So only five or six movies have ever been nominated.
I don't think I've ever been as upset or scared as when she cuts her fingernails.
I don't remember.
That is a different emotion adjacent to horror.
Okay.
Of course, Silence of the Lambs, the only winner. Some of the other wins for Get Out. The BAFTA Rising Star Award to Daniel Kaluuya. At the Critics' Choice Awards, Best Original Screenplay and Best Sci-Fi or Horror Movie. Kaluuya did not win Best Actor at my awards either. I voted for him. It's not my fault. Best Picture and Best Director at the Independent Spirits. Best Picture and Best Actor in a Musical or Comedy at the Globes. Do you want to explain?
Okay, so the Golden Globes are ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And
it's like the junk drawer category.
They separate out musicals and comedies, which made sense when they started because they were musicals.
Right,
right.
And has made increasingly less sense over the years. But, I mean, I'm a comedy person. It's like my career. And so I do support finding a way to give awards to comedies.
I support that category name. Just put musicals and or comedies in
it. Correct. Right. And they often fail to put musicals in it.
Yeah.
Like A Star is Born and I think even Bohemian Rhapsody.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's just like, come on. And then here's the thing. Get Out has jokes in it.
Yeah.
And it was made by a comedian. But nobody on earth thinks this is a comedy.
Well, listen, the way that and it's funny because I just saw something. There was a gentleman on the Today Show this morning talking about his horror museum in LA somewhere. And he started off on Leave It to Beaver. And the interviewer asked him, what is the connection between horror and comedy?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you know, most of us that like to be scared, you get that big scare, you get the jump scare, and then you get the adrenaline going.
Release of tension. And then you
laugh at yourself.
Yeah.
Or you laugh at, oh, it's okay, it's not that bad.
Right.
So you want to go about psychologically that way, in that sense. And yeah, and I kind of agree.
It's hitting the same segment of the brain.
Right.
But I don't think that's what the Globes meant.
I honestly was explaining to Colin, they're in the musical and comedy category at this point pretty much just means, are there jokes?
Yeah.
So, really? Yeah. Which, like, I mean, I wish more movies had jokes.
but really, I mean, you should be. I mean, there aren't that many comedies anymore.
I mean, we'll see. Are they going to categorize Tar as a comedy? Because it is. I doubt they will. I don't think they categorize Phantom Thread as a comedy, which absolutely is. They don't know what they're doing.
No. And apparently they're back on TV this year. Barf. We thought they were dead. We thought
just
we put.
Just like a horror movie. They've come back.
Nobody double tapped.
Speaking of comedy, at the MTV Movie Awards, Lil Rel Howery won Best Comedic Performance.
Good for him.
It also won something called the Next Generation. Not the Next Generation Award. It just is called the Next Generation. Daniel Kaluuya won that.
Okay.
At MTV, it lost Movie of the Year to Beauty and the Beast.
What?
Let me restate.
What?
Beauty and the Beast. Winner. Let's move on. Writers Guild. The Writers Guild did a best screenplays of the 21st century so far. Sometimes you run out of shit to do and you make a list like that. It's really the aughts and the tens. Nothing from after 2019 was on there. And number one, Get Out. They say this is the best screenplay of those two decades. The remaining top 10, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, Social Network, Parasite, No Country for Old Men, Moonlight, There Will Be Blood, Inglourious Bastards, Almost Famous, Memento. So
interesting.
I can get on board with about half of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Part of the inspiration, I'm going to quote IMDb trivia directly here because it's too good. Writer, co-producer, and director Jordan Peele was inspired to write this movie by Eddie Murphy's stand-up film Eddie Murphy Delirious. Murphy joked about horror films, including Poltergeist and the Amityville Horror, and asked why white people do not leave when there is a ghost in the house.
In the Amityville Horror, the ghost told them to get out the house. White people stayed in there. Now that's a hint and a half for your ass. A ghost say get the fuck out, I would just tip the fuck out the door. They walked and looked in the toilet bowl. Was blood in the toilet? They said, that's peculiar. I would have been in the house and said, oh, baby, this is beautiful. We got a chandelier hanging up here, kids outside playing. It's a beautiful neighborhood. We ain't got nothing to wear. I really love them. This is really nice. Get out. Too bad we can't stay, baby.
That apparently is the nugget that started this. And you'll find people saying that when this process started, Jordan Peele wanted Eddie Murphy for the Daniel Kaluuya role. And
really?
Then, and then was eventually convinced that he was too old.
Yeah.
But that was what was in his head at the beginning.
That is baffling.
I'm so glad that did not work out. It
would not have worked for a second.
Because I'm pretty sure I had not seen Daniel Kaluuya in anything before.
I was also
this.
Thinking about that.
That's a good question.
Just the everything that he does on screen is just oh my God. Like, first of all, he has the best, that's none of my business, side eye look.
The things that man can do with his eyeballs and eyebrows
right?
are just incredible.
And the square off between him and Catherine at the end, no words are exchanged. Like, from the moment, like, they both notice the teacup at the same time. And it's just, oh, God. And just, and it's almost, and it's, at a moment, it starts to feel a little sexy. Because he's, like, got their forehead to forehead, and he's just got this, what is happening to my body right now?
I definitely saw him in stuff. I saw Kick-Ass 2. Don't
I saw
remember
that.
It.
I don't remember him being that.
I guess he was in Sicario, which I liked.
There's so much happening in Sicario.
Yeah. I did like that movie, though. Yeah.
The thing I remember is that one Black Mirror episode. Does anyone know what I'm talking about?
Right. Yeah, like there's a gym or something.
Yeah,
like,
it's everything you do, you're earning merits. And
don't watch that show, but I read the Wikipedia plot summaries.
That's so weird because I've seen maybe 5 episodes and every one I'm like, this is the best thing ever. I'm going to watch them all. And then I think it's because they're too long for the times I've got a TV amount of time.
All right.
And when I have a movie amount of time, I watch a movie.
Right,
so
right.
It's
a lot.
He's great in that. He should have won, right?
Who else was nominated?
So
Timmy Chalamet.
Timmy was nominated.
I think it would have been really hard for me to choose.
Was that the Say My Name?
Call Me By Your Name.
It wasn't hard for me to. Well, I'm giving myself too much credit because when I nominated for whatever reason, I had Gary Oldman first and Daniel second. And
oh, interesting.
And apparently then I thought about it because when I voted for Daniel Kaluuya. Yeah. Yeah, Timothy Chalamet for Call Me By Your Name, Daniel Day-Lewis in Phantom Thread. Like, Timothy was never going to win.
Right.
Daniel Day-Lewis has 14 Oscars already. Right. That wasn't going to happen.
Yes.
Denzel in Roman J. Israel, Esquire.
The name of the category is Best Actor.
But that is a movie that does not, neither does Darkest Hour.
That movie is so bad.
It's not good at all.
So bad. And honestly, Denzel, even though he is the best actor, that's one of his weaker performances.
Yes. And scary old can. Robin runs a Oscar pun potluck.
Ah.
Also, my family has been doing this since the mid-90s. Oh, okay. Wow. It picked up steam in the 21st century. I liked them before they were cool.
I brought something serious, but I also went to Giant Eagle and got like a 25-cent can of peas and ripped the cover up and dented it and wrote scary old can for Gary Oldman.
Okay, that's good stuff.
It's good.
And now every time I'm like, ah, there's scary old can.
I made three cheese boards outside Ebbing, Missouri, and then I made little billboards on them that said, like, terrible movie, but the front runner? Why, Academy?
That's the whole time. When nominations came out, Mary Beth looked at me and screamed, Collier by your cake. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she points at me and says, Collier by your cake. And I'm like, I still don't know. She's like, we're going to get a cake with your face on it. And it's Collier by your cake. And we had that going the whole way. And then we found out that getting your face printed on a cake is very expensive. So we didn't do that.
Oh, my husband's colleagues printed his face on a cake congratulate him on 40 under 40.
I think they spent at least 80, if not $100.
Holy shit.
Are you kidding me?
Colin, you're special.
You're special.
There was a pool.
I went to Giant Eagle at the last minute and was like, what am I going to do? And then I saw a thing of pre-made rigatoni. And I yelled, Rigatoni Erdmann. And here we go. That's a movie for literally everyone.
That's a movie that I fully hate and nevertheless think about every single time I struggle to get out of a dress with a zipper in the back. Because she uses a fork to undo her dress at one point in the movie. And I will never not think about that. It's like when you don't close your dishwasher door and you think about Garden State.
Oh, yeah. We're here to talk about Get Out. He should have won it on the first sunken place scene alone.
Oh, yeah.
That's unbelievable just as an acting lesson.
The amount of tears.
He's so fucking good. He does have an Oscar now.
Yes.
So it's okay. And also, like,
his parents had sex. It's amazing.
I'm going to cut that
okay.
in.
Like, it's incredible. My mom met my dad. They had sex. It's amazing.
It's not one of those situations where it was like, oh, we'll give him a makeup Oscar. Like, he's also incredible in Judas and the Black Messiah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, and it's a different kind of incredible. Yeah. It's a totally different performance. So I think that's his first Oscar.
And also, what is the other one that he was in? I can't think of the name. He's a villain.
Black Panther?
I mean, technically.
technically. Why can't I think of it? He's like sizing up these
widows.
This dude. Yes, widows.
Oh my god! I had to leave the theater during that scene. I truly was like, time to pee. This is too much for me. And I so rewatched tense. That movie and fast forwarded through it.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. It is. I mean, it's so fucking tense and intense, and I love every moment of it. And he says like that's something that he came up with. Like the director wasn't his idea. He was just like, you know what? I'm just gonna go with this.
And that was Steve McQueen who directed
yes.
it. Like he knows what he
right.
is doing
exactly.
And he's just got a magnetic face. Like,
he has a perfect face.
He's very handsome, but I don't even mean that in this sense. I'm especially during Nope. There's moments when I was watching Nope and I was like, I just can't stop staring at you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're just such a good screen presence
yes.
and an excellent actor.
And the fact that he's so his character is so underplayed mm-hmm. or in Nope.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, he does so much subtle face acting in Get Out, and then he was like, I see you and I praise right. you myself.
He thought that was something.
Yeah.
Watch this. Hold my beer.
Well, everyone in this, you talk about Bradley Whitford and Catherine Keener and what's his name? Little scrawny boy.
I hate this actor.
Caleb Landry Jones.
I don't know his deal, but
he was in three.
He was also
three
in
movies that were nominated for Best Picture that year. I
really?
He was in three billboards. I can't remember the third one. And we've talked about this on the show before, but I am going to repeat it. I was like, I can't believe that this guy is the guy nominated in the most nominated Best Picture movies, because Michael Stuhlbarg was also in at least two. And I was like, Who else? And then I found out Catherine Newton was in three of them.
Wow.
She was in Lady Bird and Three Billboards, and I don't remember what the third one was. And then her Twitter account liked my tweet.
Caleb Landry-Jones is also in Florida Project. That's the third.
Oh, okay. So that wasn't Best Picture nominated.
So I
guess this was a hell of a year, though, wasn't
yeah.
it?
This was a really good year for movies.
So I guess he made his point. Or the actor, like, he did his job. Like, I don't know anything about this actor or his person, but this character was fucking hideous.
Yes.
I know, but so how satisfying to see him hit in the head with a...
Oh, absolutely. But
it's
Quidditch ball.
Also,
what was that? A croquet?
Bocce.
Bocce. That's the one.
But it's also, it was all very realistic. Just his whole vibe towards him the minute he walked into the room. And then the whole sizing him up at the dinner table. And, you know, you've got an excellent physique for whatever sport. Been there. Like, you know,
oh
I'm just
God,
like,
yeah.
you know, where people just look at me and assume that I play five different sports, and I'm like, no, I really don't. but
I'm just a tall black lady.
Right, exactly. It's like, no, you don't want me on your basketball team.
And Lakeith.
Oh,
first of all,
my boo.
This is one of the best cold opens in the history of horror movie. I mean, if this was an X-Files episode, everyone would say that was the best one. That was the best 2 minutes before the theme song ever. But then when he turns, it's even better. Beautiful. It's so good. It's so
the beautiful. Moment when Chris goes in for the fist bump and he grabs his hand to shake it, like, that should have been the poster. Yeah. Like, the actual poster is incredible, but, like, or, I mean, honestly, that could be the poster for Judas and the Black Messiah.
Can someone come up with a moment, a two hands touching in a terrifying way shot in Us? Because now I'm thinking of that and the reaching out to the bloody monkey hand.
Oh, yeah.
Is this a recurring thing?
I don't know. I've never rewatched Us, but I did buy it the other day. So I bought the 3-pack.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is there a 3-pack with Nope?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. I've been waiting.
I mean, it's digital. Sorry.
Just make the rights with Criterion and get the Jordan Peele the early years.
My
with those
Criterion
three.
Package came today. I'm
Are
so
you
excited?
Excited. We hooked Robin into the snobby kind of movie purchasing.
I love the fact that in Act Two, El Rey, he tells us exactly what the fuck it is. Mm-hmm. What's happening?
From the first moment,
right?
I mean, the first thing he says is, "You shouldn't go up there."
Right.
This is an underanalyzed type of horror character. We're always talking about the final girls and the first victim and the person who knew exactly what was happening all along and no one listened to them.
Yes.
Right.
This is the best one. He never says, everything he says sounds like a joke.
Right.
Everything he says is exactly what's happening.
Right.
Also, this movie is propaganda for the TSA.
I read that on the IMDb. Jordan Peele just likes the TSA.
I love it.
He feels bad because it's not their fault and they have a hard job, so he's always really nice to them. So he wanted to put positive things about the TSA in the movie, and now he has a great time in the security.
I'll bet he does. That's beautiful. And I also shout out, like, props for putting Erica Alexandra. Alexander.
Oh my God, I was so excited because I completely forgot that she was in this movie. And then when I was watching the credits, I went, right! Maxine.
Yes, Maxine Shaw, attorney at law.
Can we talk about Allison Williams?
Yes. Oof. So I think she is the weak link in this movie. And I think that that might be because I am a white lady and I'm uncomfortable with a depiction of a bad white lady.
Is it because you find it hard to believe that there would be a relationship between these two to begin with? Because I was a little like, the weak part for me was when they take a walk and he, you know, confesses about his mom and his trauma. And he's like, "You're all I have left. You know, you guys have been dating for 4 or 5 years." And then he confesses his love at this point. Or 4 or 5 months.
I was just going to say.
Yeah. 4 or 5 months. And is like, "You're all I have." And I'm just like,
I don't think that's true.
What about Rod? Rod's great. And you have a dog.
Rod and Sid are working hard to save your life right now.
So what I was thinking, and again, like, listen, context, I might just be uncomfortable with the evil white young lady. Most of the movie, they're trying to make her seem on his side. Right. And she's so embarrassed by her family. And Allison Williams plays that completely straight. Like, there's no wink to it at all. And so watching it, knowing that, no, she's in on it fully. And then Ghost just complete sociopath with like, she's just such a fucking nightmare in the last 20 minutes, which like is great to watch, but it is not consistent with the character. Like she basically is playing two characters that switch, and I would have loved, and I think that a stronger actor would have been able to weave in.
To finesse that a little bit better.
Finesse is exactly the right word.
It does seem like a hard stop.
Yeah.
But in a sense, it's also like, you got to think about it. Like, apparently, she's been groomed for this for years. Since childhood.
Which is so, so weird.
Which also would bear to say that, you know, maybe she has split personality, you know, like there's like dissociative. She's got some sort of dissociative thing as to where, you know, she gets in her character.
Which is a thing sociopaths can do.
Right. Exactly.
So, all right. That's compelling. The other thing about that whole plot, like the whole thing where it's like she seduces these people to get them in, like clearly with Lakeith's character, like they also have the option of just grabbing someone off the street. I'm like, that seems a lot easier.
Right. Right.
Like, why would you go through all of this?
I think it's because Jeremy, because they say, they make two mentions of Jeremy just being a little off the fucking chain and like damaging
people,
like a little too rough. And just like, I think the mom said something about, you know, not like you did the last one, or you already messed up.
Right.
Something like that.
So. I was also curious if it was like, this is like the high quality product that they are auctioning. And then Lakeith is more like what you buy at Marshall's.
Aww.
Poor Lakeith.
How dare you?
I agree, but disagree. I think she's pretty great. And I hated her until I saw, I don't know why I've seen most of Girls when I don't really watch TV, but I have. And anytime she was on, I was annoyed. I was like, get to one of the 2.5 characters that I like, because it's not you.
Every time I've ever watched Girls, I've just been annoyed by all of them.
Yeah, I got through half an episode and I was like, no thanks.
That's I've only seen like 4 or 5 episodes. Mm-hmm. Every time I watched it, I would be like, I really want to keep watching this, but I also hate every single person involved.
It's entertaining.
Yeah.
I think she does a great job because there are such, I mean, the frantically trying to find your keys and then going stone-faced is one of the most indelible things about this movie.
Sure.
I think she does a great job. I think that character is one of the only weak points of this movie, and I think it's in the writing, unfortunately. Because I get what's going on. I get this is the one that's just a sociopath. Her dad is intellectualizing everything. Her brother just likes being violent, and that's why he's here. The mom is very cold and calculating, and her deal is she's the Michael Myers here.
Right.
And that feels out of place in this movie. It feels out of place to have one character that is just that, eating individual pieces of Fruit Loops. Like it,
right. I mean, like
it doesn't work.
So much of this is about like the banality of evil, right? Mm-hmm. Like this is a community that has completely normalized stealing people.
Yeah.
Right. And you know who else did that? All of America.
Right.
And so it's like not everyone who lived in a country that practiced slavery was a sociopath. Right? I think it is more compelling to have people who act normal and still do this incredibly evil shit because that is the world that we live
like
in.
Like this is their normal.
Right.
Like that.
They just don't understand why it's evil to steal a human.
It's just And, you know, this is like, that's America.
Yes,
that's America. That's the straight up racism. That's the straight up microaggressions that we face every minute of the day. And just like, you know, the garden party in itself, you know, like, oh, I love Tiger Woods. Like,
yes.
You got a good, like, is black the new thing? These are real things that we have heard in real life. Black people, like, I have heard these things, like the shit of like trying. Yeah, it's like, I really love fucking, you know, whatever, like whatever new, like, oh, you love Rihanna? Then, you know, oh, Beyonce, she's my favorite. Like that is just like... It's just shit like that.
And people do not walk up to me and tell me they love Taylor Swift.
Right, exactly. And it's just like they're trying to really hard to find a quote-unquote commonality or be cool and, you know, and then the whole, like, stealing of the culture. And it's just, like, Jordan is saying so fucking much with this movie.
Right.
And this is why I'm sure it obviously it hits harder with black audiences because we were all like, yep, Yep.
Yeah.
And like my ex-husband was from Somerset, and those were some of the most uncomfortable fucking times in my life of going back to Somerset and visiting that family for like a weekend. Like, not that his family gave me any problems, but just the town of Somerset is very uncomfortable to me. I maybe have, out of the 4 years we were married and all the times we visited there, I probably saw three other black people.
I do a lot of comedy out that way. I walk into rooms and I debate with myself, what's worse? If I walk in and there are no black people, or if I walk in and there's one? Because when I see the one, I'm like, he is having a rough time. The shit he's heard this week.
Right. And it's like, either is he the Daniel or is he the Lakeith?
But all of his movies thus far are tackling this, and I should have listened to the director's commentary, but I got a little bit of it, and what's interesting is that he started writing this well before Trump, right? And he said that he was writing this because there was this obviously false, like, well, we solved racism, that's the end of that, and this this was born as a response to that, and that's why when he first wrote it, it had the original ending. Did everybody watch the ending?
Yeah.
Because he felt that reminder was needed, like nothing solved here.
Right.
But then completing it after Trump, he was basically like, we just need to let the audience off the hook.
Yeah, I can't do this tonight. Yeah. I can't do this
Thank
to people.
Thank you, Jordan Peele.
Because it was enough just to see the colored lights in the reflection of Chris's face. And you're just like, everyone's just like, oh no.
So... I was going to talk about my movie theater experience. This was the moment that was the best of all. Mm-hmm. It was just like, you know, the whole theater is like, fuck.
Right.
And then when you see Airport, that door, again, it's propaganda for the TSA. Just the, yes! Just like the whole room was just like, this is the best thing that's ever happened. So I would not give that up for a more meaningful ending.
Right. No, yeah. I agree.
Sometimes we deserve a happy ending.
It's on the DVD. You saw it. Yeah. We thought about it.
Also, like, here's the thing. If you really need that sad ending, think about what's going to happen next.
Right. Because there's still a whole lot of things that have to be explained by poor Chris.
A ton of people got murdered and all the evidence burned down.
Right, exactly.
But this is how good the writing is, except for Rose's character. This is how good the writing is. He's going to be fine.
Why?
There's no record of him being there. And that was very deliberate.
Right. I see.
There is the tie-in is when she doesn't let the cop look at his license, which I didn't realize until I read somewhere. It's like, that's not about, you know, showing off her liberal points. That's don't check this because then someone will know you're up here.
Yeah.
Right. He's going to be fine.
Right.
Because there's no record. He didn't even know her. What? Bye.
Right.
Okay, cool. All right. Yeah. That makes me feel better.
But then I also have another question. Like, what exactly happens to the white people? Like, so the person that the Stephen Root. Mm-hmm. So what would have happened had he been successful?
They take they take most of his brain.
No. But listen.
Sorry. They bury him. It's his brain. What?
Sounds like no. when he goes off to live his normal life, his regular life, his new life as in Chris's body.
Yeah.
As far as I know, he doesn't have like a wife or a partner or anything to welcome him back into his home that he already has, be able to deal with his finances and
run his gallery.
Right. Yeah. So how does he like insert himself back into his own life?
That's a really good question. I also thought about with Lakeith has the older wife, Philomena, like she's going to die.
Right.
I assume that you increased your life expectancy by putting your consciousness into a younger body.
I would imagine.
I'm not sure if it's like the brain still breaks.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then it's also like, how does Philomena explain her new black young plaything or whatever?
I think everyone she knows is in the club.
Yeah.
I think that
much I kind of, you know, I was like, okay, I'll accept that, I guess. But it's like, you know, but Stephen Root,
I assume because
if you don't have a significant other,
I feel like I would be like imagining my consciousness in a younger person's body trying to adopt my own life. I would be like, oh, well, we tragically lost Robin. I was her protege.
Maybe he's got that. Yeah, maybe he has like I have been mentoring this young photographer for years. That's right. Why he's in my will for everything.
Right.
You know? Okay. And unlike Lakeith's wife and everybody, because they, you know, Stephen Root kept trying to insist, no, but I'm cool. I'm not like these guys. He's going to be fine, like, going back to the city. He doesn't need to, you know.
Stephen Root's also really good in this.
Yeah.
Everybody is really good in this.
Yes.
Every
Except
last...
for Allison Williams. She's not bad. She's just not really good.
I don't know a lot about, like, I just don't like her. But I did, you know, fun fact, one of my favorite random, like, YouTube songs, she and a group of her friends did a version of Nat King Cole's song.
That's not what I was going to guess.
Yeah, exactly. Nat King Cole's song, Nature Boy. Over the tune of Mad Men theme song.
I'm going to see if I can pop some of
this. It's called Mad Men with a twist. And it's on YouTube. It's the only way it plays it lives. And it's just a great fucking version of both songs. And I absolutely love it.
And though he spoke of many things, fools and kings, this he said to me, the greatest thing you'll ever learn is just to love and be loved in return.
She sings the lead, and you know, and I knew about that before I knew about her and girls and everything else.
She hasn't done much else. She was in that embarrassing Peter Pan, and that's
wasn't she in some Netflix movie about a cellist?
Yes.
That
was
I liked that. No one else did.
No, she is one thing I will say about her. She reminds me of whoever Kurt Russell's son. And they have awareness of their who they are and how they appear on screen.
Yeah.
Like, yes, I am a conventionally attractive white person, but there is something menacing about me. Like, she is just one of those people, you look at her and you're like, that girl's rich. Like, when I found out her dad was Brian Williams, I was like, yep, checks out. That girl has owned at least 3 horses.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yep.
That was the knock on girls at the beginning. It's like, oh, a collection of people who've never had a job before, but all of their dads are famous.
Right.
Which was a stretch with 2 out of 4 of them. But undoubtedly, she's in Megan, M3 Gan, the creepy robot movie.
Right. Oh, that's right.
That I think I'm going to see in the theater.
Really?
I'm pre-rating that 10 out of 10. I don't care.
That's just such a fucking good trailer.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of trailers, boop.
You got your toothbrush?
Check.
Do you have your deodorant?
Check.
Do you have your cozy clothes?
Got that.
What?
Do they know I'm black?
Should they?
You might wanna, you know.
Mom and Dad, my black boyfriend will be coming up this weekend. I just don't want you to be shocked, but he's a black man.
I ain't never seen you like this before, bruh.
Meeting families and taking road trips. Don't come back all bougie, man.
So you guys coming up from the city?
Yeah.
Can I see your license, please?
He wasn't driving.
I didn't ask who was driving. I asked to see his ID.
Call me Dean and you hug me, my man.
So how long has this been going on, this thing? We hired Georgina and Walter to help care for my parents. When they died, I couldn't bear to let them go.
Do you smoke in front of my daughter?
I'm gonna quit.
She'd take care of that for you.
How?
Hypnosis.
I'm good, actually.
Apparently, a whole bunch of brothers been missing in this suburb.
Bro, how you not scared of this, man?
Couldn't see another brother around here.
Chris was just telling me how he felt much more comfortable with my being here. Get out.
Sorry, man.
Get out! Yo!
Rose, we gotta go.
Is everything okay?
Rose, the keys. Just get the keys.
I don't know where they are.
Rose?
Sink into the floor.
Wait.
Sink.
Mom, it's a terrible thing to waste. It's a terrible thing to waste.
If there's too many white people, I get nervous.
No. Mom, it's a terrible thing to waste.
So that gives too much away. I don't know if I'm just seeing, because I know what all of these shots are, but it feels like you didn't need to tell me all of that.
Colin told me that he's like, we didn't know, like, you know, we saw it and we just got vibes and didn't have the context to know. Mm-hmm. And I certainly don't remember. I know I saw this trailer because I went to the movies to see this, but I don't remember watching the movie being like, they gave this away in the trailer.
No.
So
I absolutely didn't feel like that. I remember not exactly knowing. Like, mm-hmm. again, I got vibes. It's like, okay, yeah, I know what's up, but I didn't know what was up.
Right.
So it wasn't. Like, necessary. It didn't feel spoilerish, the trailer for me.
But it is surprising watching it, knowing everything that happens and being like, wow, they hit a lot of mm-hmm. shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's in the chair in the basement. I'm like, shouldn't that have been saved at least?
I mean, that's the poster.
I know. No, the poster, you can make an argument that that's the hypnotism.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Okay. The deer skeleton.
Yeah.
What do you, is, have you seen the whatever skeleton? Deleted scene that is? There's like a ghost deer skeleton that comes at him.
What?
What?
Okay. This is an audio trailer? Program and I cannot put that clip in.
What, he was in the chair?
Is it in the trailer?
Yes, it's in the trailer. It's like a black room and a ghost deer skeleton.
A Patronus?
Yeah. Anyway, take my word for it, folks.
Or go look up the trailer.
Yeah, see if there's a deleted scene that involves a deer skeleton.
The teaser trailer for Nope was the only Jordan Peele trailer that didn't give too much away. And then there were two other trailers for Nope that gave too much
away.
Which
I refuse to watch.
Yeah.
If I had gone into Us not knowing there would be doppelgangers, it would be the best movie I'd ever seen in my life. And I would have been scared. Because sudden doppelgangers scare the shit out of me.
Yes.
So they all give away too much, but, you know, clearly they're all working. So, and on Letterboxd, this is in the Letterboxd top 250. This is currently 193 on the all-time rankings.
At least halfway higher.
Yeah, that should have two digits at most. This is largely the Letterboxd list that inspired this segment. Films where the main character visits his partner's parents' house for the first time only to realize they are racists who have hatched a plan to have a white guy steal their identity. The only entries on this list are Get Out and Shrek 2.
That's great.
Pretty much how this started. I am going to take away a few points. I am taking away 3 points because I have those slight problems with Allison Williams' character as presented, or maybe it's the performance, whatever. I'm taking away 3 points for that. I am taking away 1 point for a convenient stack of exposition photographs. Just happens to be sitting there. And I am taking away 1 point. This is another subject. I can't decide if the grandparents are happy or not.
That's a really good question. I actually think that's kind of a strength.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But something about it didn't quite gel. But when I say I'm taking these points away, I mean from the inverse of when we're talking about a bad movie. So 95. I'm taking away those 5 points and no others. 95.
To your point about the grandparents being happy or not, I think they are, except for the fact that they're not happy with having to serve.
I wonder if they have to serve when there isn't company.
Probably. I bet you Catherine Keener makes...
You know, when my grandmother reached a certain age, I'm going to say roughly 80, she was like, I've been taking care of people my whole life and I am done. And God bless her.
Well, but they didn't stuff her in a brand new body.
I think she still would have been like, peace, I'm going to Europe.
I took away 5 points for the whole Chris declaring his love for Rose, and that was all. She's all he had. Leaving 95.
Same score.
Okay, this is very, very exciting. Because I also have 95.
Yes.
High five.
And my points are also Allison Williams' character, and then there are more than two coincidences. The stack of photos I didn't even think about, that they knew Lakeith's character from their neighborhood. I'm kind of like, come on. Like, if there were some other way to figure out this is a person who is missing, I would have liked it more.
Yeah, or maybe, you know, she just does not broaden her hunting ground.
Well, she didn't pull him in. He just got ripped off the street. So anyway.
But no, wait. I want to say that he was on the phone with her.
What? Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to say. I want to say he was on the phone with her trying to find her where she lives. And he had at the beginning of the movie.
I like that theory. However, they say later, like, you're lucky you got Allison to Daniel.
Yeah.
Because what's his name method is a lot more rough, implying that those two are hunting separately in their different ways.
She might have been the bait.
Yeah. Like, she could, that's gonna be like a first date thing.
I think he just drives around until he sees a black person alone in the suburbs.
Yikes. Listen, 95, and we are aligned.
Right.
Has this happened before?
This has never happened. I think I can average out 95 three times. Yeah. It's 95. Guess what, everybody? That makes it the number one movie in America. Yay! The new top of the list. Fight Club had a good run.
Good, but it couldn't stand.
Yeah, Fight Club is not as good as this movie.
No. And what else is near the top? Alien is not as good as this movie. And no. I feel weird saying that, but
I stand by it.
Alien is a little shaggy at points. alert the affiliates. We're going long, everybody. To a new bingo card. We'll have to hold off on Camilo or Robin correctly guesses the song. That's on
I love those, by the way.
Categories.
I was very excited to see those.
So I think we all saw in the theater.
Yes.
Yes.
We have Missing Person.
Yes.
Yeah. Are you going to count Police Interrogation? That's not the spirit of the square?
No, I don't think there was an interrogation. He went to the cops to ask for help, and they made a joke out of him.
And not on the side of the road either?
No, that wasn't. What was it? So Missing Person, and what was the other one?
We all saw it in the theater.
Yeah.
A breakup?
Well.
That's the hardest breakup, but no.
They're not together at the end. No, we'll save that one, and we will see if anyone correctly guesses the song for another point. So, where to begin on You Can't Handle the Truth?
Well, I can be quick, I think.
All right. Did you hear my glasses brush the...
Yes, I was like, what is that?
Wait, I'll do any... it's like a small animal.
Okay. I saw DC League of Super Pets. Adorable.
Right? Yeah. I can't believe how cute that movie was.
We're all on board.
Yes, and I almost cried at one point.
I also got really emotional during the Ace backstory.
Yes.
Yes.
It's like, damn it, Ace.
He just was trying to help.
I know. And I saw Halloween Ends and...
very divisive.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I don't have a lot to say about it. Like, this isn't my... Michael Myers movies are not my jam.
Yeah.
It's not like if it was a Saw movie. Like, I don't give a shit about him keep coming back and, you know, this is supposed to be in and all everybody... This is not a typical Halloween movie. I don't care about any of that. I just was not enthused by most of what was happening.
And yet Jigsaw's coming back
exactly.
And you're on board
and
for
I
that.
I am absolutely on board. Right. I'll pre-buy the ticket if I was able to right now. I am fine with that. I watched Thinner. I know I had seen it like ages ago.
The Stephen King adaptation? Yeah, I've never seen that.
It's actually, it holds up. Huh. It's pretty good. Like, I think it's from the 90s.
Yeah.
I would watch it if I were you. Like, it's worth it. It's worth another watch. This Sidney Poitier documentary on Apple Plus.
I keep meaning to watch this.
I know. And I kept putting it off because I needed... to be in the in the right zone. It's like, I want no interruptions. I want to sit and watch and just engross in all of it.
I have a question for you. Am I going to walk away from it thinking he is anything less than an amazing person? Because that will make it harder to watch, but probably more necessary to watch.
Maybe a smidge.
Okay.
People are layered.
I found out that, you know, there was some cheating, and I didn't know that about Sydney.
Okay.
But it's like, that's the worst of it, really.
Okay, I can handle it.
I did also walk away with, there's like several stills of several photos of him and Harry Belafonte that exist in this world that I want giant posters of. Just so if anybody knows where I can get those. I watched Dash Cam.
What?
I think it's on Shudder or maybe it's on Hulu. I started watching Dash Cam about this girl who is just like going off on her night and like the hell breaks loose or whatever. And she's like, has like a little she does her live stream.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you know, what does she call herself? Like the world's only live camera musical car show, you know, some stupid shit like that. But the character is the most annoying fucking human being in the world. And she's going on it's in pandemic. So like people, there's COVID. And so she's going around like, stop wearing your masks, sheep. And it's just, It's a horrible, horrible premise, and I don't know why anybody thought this was okay. I don't know how it ends. It was terrible. I wouldn't watch it if I were anybody else. Like, don't. Like, I just don't. But on the flip side, I did walk away with a very good scary movie, Barbarian.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the character, the main character, the young lady, had some questionable... I would like to shake her for a lot of the decisions she made. She's naturally absolutely the reason why Get Out exists.
Mm-hmm.
because she is at the... I'm screaming at her, that like, don't fucking do it. But aside from that, like, it's a really great movie. Like, it, the first 30 minutes
mm-hmm.
would make a solid short in mm-hmm. itself. Like, when that hard end, with that hard line stops, and it's like, you know what? I could have walked... I've been fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this would have been great. I mean, and the rest of it is really good as well. They did really so much with so much tension. That's the piece that I really enjoyed about it. Like, the tension that they managed to build up and all that. And then there's even like a little Justin Long humor in there.
He's great. That's
Golden Globes, pay attention.
Yeah. Well, this is the one that does the opposite of the trailer problem, where I had no idea what this movie was about.
Yeah.
I had seen the trailer and I knew that, like, okay, there's a woman in an Airbnb and then Pennywise shows up,
right.
But like, that's all I knew about it, and that has nothing, that really has nothing to do with what all of the
right
horror is gonna be. I
right.
mean, it's really
meanwhile,
well done.
Like I said, when you talked about it, I saw a tweet that said, for all the movies that are basically a remake of an episode of The X-Files, mm-hmm. this is a really good one. And I thought in my head, I bet I know which episode they're talking about, and that one's right.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't even
that's
know
the tweet's fault.
I don't even think I saw a trailer for this, because I went in knowing that Justin Long was in it and thinking it was the other movie that he's in, the other horror movie. He like goes to...
Yeah, he just did something else.
Yeah, and so I was very confused with the first 30 minutes. I was like, I don't... Like, I thought this was, how did we get... And then I spent like the first 15, 20 minutes like, is that Bill Skarsgård?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
when you said Pennywise shows up, I was like, wait, really?
Tim Curry?
And then... I was like, a clown? Now I understand.
It's
okay.
Bill Skarsgård. He makes his eyes do that for real.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know where to... I've seen a lot of movies. Here's some things I'm not going to talk about because I don't care enough. Ticket to Paradise, The Good Nurse, it's fine. Ticket to Paradise, it's bad. Chen Park Wook movie, Decision to Leave, it's very, very good. It's exactly as good as you've heard.
Yeah, I'll get to that around December.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think the Tar moment is happening. I think the Tar moment ended before it began.
Based on my feed, I think it's happening.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, I think people are talking about it. I think 1% of those people will buy a movie ticket to see a film this weekend.
Okay, sure. The Oscar dorks and critics I follow are enthusiastic about it.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised to find out that it was not based on a true story.
I was too. And then this morning, the first tweet that I saw was somebody being like, we're doomed because moviegoers are such idiots. And I was like, okay, I don't want to take responsibility for this.
Yeah.
Like, this is not my fault. Like, the marketing.
Yeah.
And also just the general trends.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Maybe they were blaming Hollywood. It felt like they were like, y'all are idiots.
Either way, I feel like that's a bit much.
That the average person doesn't know who's conducting the Berlin Philharmonic?
Yes.
No, we're not. Sorry.
Believable that it could have been a true story. It's not like it's like something about, oh, the woman who trains unicorns.
Yeah.
And we're all like, oh my God, it's not a true story? Like,
great.
It's such a use this or not. This is why someone on my Facebook.
Friend of the pod, Lauren Kozlowski.
This is the kind of movie that people see and go, ah, good, a serious movie again. And don't actually pay attention to whether or not it's good. Because it's not that good.
It has really good parts.
It has
I
really
just
good parts.
To borrow an expression from Camila, it doesn't curl over.
It does not.
Yeah.
And that ending.
I just think that it was like showing off the downfall to me makes the movie more about cancel culture and less about look at this fucking asshole.
I agree with
and
that.
Something Lauren said when we were texting was he was like, I do think it's about cancel culture. And I think that it goes down easier because it's about a woman. And I was like, yes. And that's why I don't like it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what you're saying is true.
Is he the one that got in your craw about, you posted something about film credit, somebody harassing?
No,
film credits.
No, that was, we'll get to that.
Okay.
That one we are going to talk about.
Oh. I was also curious what that was about.
The answer will not surprise you. The answer will make you groan. The thing that all of the tweets are about, and I am more frustrated than I need to be. I don't know which medication is not quite doing its job, because this is bothering me more than it needs to. All of the tweets are about Black Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Black Adam is mediocre. You know, if I had been in a slightly better mood, I might have bumped it to like barely good. Mm. If I had been in a worse mood, I would have hated it. As such, I was like, you know, 4 or 5 out of 10, yeah. Right in there. And this is what really makes people mad at you. It's because I've seen all of this shit 8 times before. Mm-hmm, and they right. think that doesn't count because it was across the aisle on right. in a Marvel movie. If you've got a big, beefy guy who's not from this place, whether that's because he's Black Adam is from the past instead of Thor being from space, if you got a big, beefy guy doing a fish out of water and he has to like learn to, you know, he's conflicted, but he has to save people, you're doing Thor, because we've seen Thor in 7 movies.
Right.
And the fact that it's a little, no, he's actually, because here's in the comic book, not different enough. Oh, who are the sidekicks? You got a guy that gets real big. Yeah, I know him. His name is Ant-Man. You got another.
Is Hawkman in it?
Hawkman's in it, and he's great.
Okay, because Hawkman's one of my favorite DC characters.
No, this is the debut of Hawkman. No complaints there.
So I think that's the only thing that's going to make me see this movie.
Yeah, but they,
who plays Hawkman?
Guy from stuff. I sorry. Okay. I know. Oh, is it Aldous? Aldous Hodge?
Aldous Hodge.
He's so hello. Hot.
That's okay. What you lead with.
Man, I might go see Black Adam in the theater yeah. now. Holy shit. Okay. I was so uninterested in this movie right. until this.
All these DC guys are going, the great character is Dr. Fate. I want a whole movie for Dr. Pierce Brosnan plays Dr. Fate.
Dr. Fate's also ooh. A really good character.
I'm sure he is. You mean the goateed guy with the cape who does magic and has a name Dr. Blank?
Yeah. I mean, this is not the movie's fault. This is the comic's fault, you realize. Well, and this also, is... like, frankly, it is storytelling archetypes.
Yeah. It is. I do think it behooves DC to just do some different shit. And I think they're going to do that now. They hired James Gunn. He's in charge. This is why The Suicide Squad is good. This is why Birds of Prey is good. This is why the first Wonder Woman were good, because it wasn't exactly the same shit. But what I am up in arms about is, you know what happens most of the time I review a movie? Absolutely nothing. I get no response, maybe a couple of comments on Facebook, maybe a couple of likes on Twitter. If you say something bad about a DC movie, people from all over the world show up to tell you you're an idiot. And there is all of these, you're a fucking moron under everywhere I posted this shit.
Are you serious?
Because these fuckers cannot handle the fact that they love it. If you love something enough, you're probably going to be less critical of it. It worked for you. Great.
Right.
The critics don't like it because they're all paid off by Marvel. Bitch, I would love right? to be paid off by Marvel. That would be great.
That right? angle is fascinating to me. Right? Sean, I will tell you, I almost bitchily replied to your subtweet of these people with your 9 out of 10 review of Halloween Ends.
Right. But to double down, that's the point. Everyone has biases.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
And it was an 8 out of 10.
Okay,
everyone has biases. Everyone has shit that they like more than it deserves.
Right.
And for some reason, because they all want to fuck Zack Snyder, these people like can't just accept, yeah, I love this. This is my thing. They're mad that the whole world doesn't agree with them.
So
and I don't
up.
Get it. Just move on with your life.
Right. It's like, it really doesn't have any bearing on you or anything that happens. So what? A critic doesn't love your movie.
Yeah.
What does that have to do with you? Like, absolutely nothing.
62% of critics do not love your movie, as the 38% on Rotten Tomatoes
indicate.
Either
way, you know what? You didn't make the move. Like, they didn't make the move. Like,
right. I mean, if we're not saying, again, if all critics felt the same way, there'd only have to be one. Like, but so find a critic that you like right. and follow their work.
Right. Leave Sean alone. Keep him out of it.
It's not that big of a deal. I'm just like, this is the kind of stupidity that's tearing the world apart. It's like, if everyone doesn't think what I think, that's a problem. We're talking about a superhero movie. That's not the point. It really is. But really, I want to talk about Bram Stoker's Dracula for the next hour. Why did no one tell me this is the weirdest, horniest movie in the history of time?
There is an episode of the Keanu Review about it. So that's one of the few movies we got to before I got too busy to keep doing two podcasts. Mm-hmm. So go listen to it. Liz LaBaz guests. It's excellent.
First of all.
And you know about, like, he did all those effects are in camera.
I learned that afterwards, and I loved it so much more. First of all, the most we pulled names out of a hat cast in the history of time. Just here's Winona Ryder, Anthony Hopkins 2 months after Silence of the Lambs. Tom Waits wandered in. He could be Renfield.
He's so good.
Cary Elwes is here. Sure, why not? Give him something to do.
I also forgot about that, and I watched this movie in the last couple of years.
In a 2-hour Meatloaf music video by the guy who did The Godfather, everyone's face is in the sky, and everyone's crawling on walls, and there's rats on the ceiling, and nothing ever... She's fucking a werewolf that isn't even in the rest of the movie. It's so great. Every scene is more ridiculous than the preceding scene. And it's great.
That should be Gary Oldman's Oscar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he is fantastic
in
that.
He's so good.
And it won 3 Oscars.
Yeah.
This batshit coked up, like, what if Dracula, but the horniest movie that's ever been made, has everyone fucks everybody in that. It has 3 Oscars.
How could it not?
Oh, it's so good. I'm so glad I saved that because I had it on a $5 Blu-ray of Bram Stoker's Dracula and Mary Shelley's Frankenstein that I've just been sitting on forever. And you missed it, but it was in theaters this week
for the
30th anniversary.
Oh.
And so I saved it for the theater and I'm just sitting there like, what? This is amazing. Oh, it's so good. Robin?
Well, my what? This is amazing is A Nightmare on Elm Street.
I'm trying to tell you.
I had never seen it. I know I have seen some of one of the sequels.
I'm just shocked that you sat through them.
Oh, listen, the first one is so fucking good.
It's excellent.
Like, it is up there with, like, the first Halloween where mm-hmm. I'm like, this is a completely solid horror movie. Mm-hmm. And that's not my genre, but this is a great example of the genre. Mm-hmm. And I was, like, so blown away. And I know that the sequels are of varying quality. Mm-hmm. And I watched the second one. And I think that the only way that I was able to get through it was because I understand the gay subtext mm-hmm. controversy from Sean talking about it. Mm-hmm. Then I watched Dream Warriors because Nancy was coming back and I love Nancy.
Who
and
doesn't?
People were telling me on Twitter, like, don't skip that one.
Right.
And then I was going to keep watching it, but they don't have 4 on Homebox for whatever reason.
They split. They were all on there for a while and then
they start like dropping
off. Ways.
And then I started 5 and it is unwatchably
it's
bad.
Really that's 4 and 5 are just boring.
Okay.
That's,
and I might, you know, it's Halloween weekend, I might continue. Mm-hmm. I do really want to watch New Nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend John Feitner, who's a movie lover, told me, like, you need to watch some of the corny Freddy ones to mm-hmm. appreciate New Nightmare properly.
I would do 6. 6 is like,
is that Freddy's Dead?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the one with, like, wacky cameos and, like, pure comp, you know, one kid gets killed because goes into a video game and Freddy kills him in the video game. That's like the wackiest.
All right. One of my favorite parts of Dream Warriors was the Zsa Zsa Gabor on the Dick Cavett show. Like that, I'm like, this is how you do a gratuitous celebrity cameo.
Mm-hmm.
And that one scene was better than the entirety of the movie Joker.
Yes, that's true. Did you like 3?
Yeah, I really did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, I think poor Heather Langenkamp, what's she been up to?
She is currently on the Midnight Club.
I don't even know what that is, but good for her.
Yeah. Mike Flanagan.
That sounds familiar.
The House on Haunted Hill, or the Hauntings of Haunted blah blah blah.
Oh,
the Bly Manor.
Sure.
And
yes.
The other one. I mean, I love them and I watched them all, but I can never remember the titles.
Yes.
But they're all on Netflix and she is currently on the Midnight Club.
Great. Yeah. Good for her.
She has sometime after Halloween 2018, she started loudly saying, you know, I do another one of these.
Oh,
if
good.
Anybody wants to, does anybody want to maybe?
Anybody?
And I'm sure Robert Englund would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
and
there's hope.
I also watched a few other, I've just been in a Halloween-y kind of mood. I honestly, I think that like I've had a really rough couple of weeks, and the reason that people like horror movies is suddenly very compelling to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, I watched Don't Look Now. It's from the 70s with Donald Sutherland and Julie Christie,
that movie
and they
is
fuck.
So good.
So it, I again did not curl over for me because I ultimately like kind of hated both of them. Mm. And also I kept going the Babadook because it's the horror of grief, but in Italy.
Those scenes where they're like wandering around trying to find something and keep getting lost, and then on the other opposite sides of a that's so good.
Yeah, and the. Listen, the sex scene is worth the price of admission. That's one of the best sex scenes I've ever seen. And it's so, because it comes after a scene of them just chilling in the bathroom naked and like brushing their teeth. Mm-hmm. And they just seem so incredibly married. Mm-hmm. And then the scene itself, it's very graphic, which is fun. Mm-hmm. But it's intercut with them getting dressed afterwards to go on a date. Mm-hmm. And it just is so, as a married person, I'm like, yep, this is right. It. Yeah. And it's fucking hot. So
that's one of them where they're like, this movie is controversial because we think they really fucked.
Yeah, I think that's PR.
Yeah. On the one hand, I think that's PR. On the other hand, whenever they're asked, they're kind of like,
maybe.
We didn't.
But I think that's PR.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I mean,
ultimately, I think it's very good. It falls short of like a masterpiece for me because I got so annoyed with the characters.
I have that criterion, and it's very good. And what's that director's name?
Nicholas Rogue.
Nicholas Rogue. His maybe debut, maybe not, is also in the collection. It's called Walkabout.
I've heard of that movie.
Two kids get lost in the Australian outback, and an Aboriginal boy leads them home but falls in love with the girl. Caveat, duly problematic.
Sure.
Aboriginal boy and naked teenager. those two 70s strikes. But similarly, like, the thing with Don't Look Now is I can't sit down and tell you why it's so good, but I think it's so good, and Walkabout is the same way. Anyway, I'm stealing your time.
That's fine.
Talk about a director no one cares about.
When a Stranger Calls?
With Carol Kane?
With Carol Kane.
I've been meaning to for months, and I just haven't pressed play.
On some streaming service right now. And the Carol Kane part's really good. Mm-hmm. There's a whole middle section really bad. Yeah. So it ultimately is not a good movie. But honestly, the first half hour would make a great short. And when the call is coming from inside the house, it is a great Leo pointing moment.
There's the remake is actually not that bad either.
Is Ray Wise in that?
Who?
Laura Palmer's dad from Twin Peaks, handsome gray-haired man.
I don't know, but I know.
Yes.
Okay.
The killer is.
You tell me, Ray Wise isn't a handsome man?
Listen, you know how horny I am, and I not to
Ray
me.
Ray Wise. The killer is dude from Sons of Anarchy. Chibs.
Mm.
My boyfriend. Ray Wise is not handsome.
In Fire Walk With Me, when
I've never seen
the first girl who dies a year before Laura is calling Jacques Renault to be like, I need to know what Laura and Ronette's dads look like.
Very handsome, wavy hair, like a movie star.
Okay.
That's what Ray Wise looks anyway.
All right.
I think he's a handsome man.
Do you think
man.
David Lynch is handsome? This was going on in my group chat the other day. I think he is.
Really?
Yes.
His teeth are very yellow.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Listen. I'm not throwing stones in that house. Oh, wait.
Is that it? Yes, I finally saw Monster Squad. It's better than Goonies. Don't at me. Or at me. Twitter's dead. Who gives a shit? We're going to draw a movie. Programming note. Okay, here's the rest of the year. We're drawing this movie. Camila's the only one with a veto. We'll see what happens. After that, our auction winner.
Jim Kiley.
Woo. He is going to pick a movie for us. That'll be not the next episode, but the one after that, and that will be followed by two holiday episodes. We may, in a future year, revisit the holiday list because we're either doing or vetoing most of them. But before we get to that, spooky season has ended. The holiday season is not yet upon us. So let's watch... Remember when I said spooky season was over? I lied.
Oh,
all right.
Hey, why only watch one of the six horror movies nominated for Best Picture? Let's go straight to Silence of the Lambs, shall we?
Wow.
I just watched all of those. I just watched Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal, the other one.
When you said all of those, I was like, what?
Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal, Red Dragon. No.
Watch Manhunter. It's really good.
And I started to watch Hannibal Rising, but that's incredibly boring.
The only two of those I've seen are Silence of the Lambs and Red Dragon. I should at least watch Hannibal.
Both of you should watch Manhunter. It's actually good. Hannibal's garbage.
So much extra butter, we used to call it on You Can't Handle the Truth, because I stayed in the Silence of the Lambs house this year. And there's another big event this weekend. Yeah, so I've seen this movie a lot, but I'm never going to say no.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm not going to veto it.
No, of course not.
I've already watched it. I'm good.
Yeah.
I've done my homework.
You've watched it recently enough that you're like no, I'm not watching.
It was last week.
I get an episode off.
Literally last week I watched all three.
That's
of
awesome.
Them.
I'll tell you one thing. If you go and say the house, it's about an hour south of Pittsburgh. It's called Buffalo Bill's house. It's the house where they have the conflict where Jodie Foster finds him at the end. If you want to try to talk like Buffalo Bill for 72 consecutive hours, it's like, I can't stop doing that voice. And he doesn't even have that much of a voice. It's just more pronounced in your head.
Skin.
Yeah. I haven't been there since they built the well. The well was they didn't finish well construction by the time I got there. He's so good. And he pops up, and what did we see? We did one with him in it.
Yeah, we did.
It was a thriller of some kind.
We don't have time for this.
I don't know. But, you know, oddly enough, he is on the show Monk. Which always throws me for a loop.
Five episodes into Monk when I went, wait a second. I was like, wait.
This is
weird. Wait. And yeah.
Hey, Get Out. February 24th, 2017. What was the number one song in America for a bingo square?
Yeah. Drake?
Halsey?
No and no. So it doesn't count then. If I walk you to it, it has to be
correct.
Your...
Correct.
Yeah.
It was neither Drake nor Halsey.
Rihanna.
No.
DJ Khaled.
I don't know how many number ones he has.
Several.
I'm just trying to remember
people. But I don't even know what was happening in 2017.
Taylor Swift?
This is an incredibly popular person that you forget about until someone mentions him.
Nas X?
I never forget about Lil Nas X.
I know. I was just pulling the name out of the hat.
And also, that was before he existed. He was like in high school.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
This is like a Grammy-winning, arena-filling guy.
What?
That you're like...
What's that little redhead dude?
Ed Sheeran?
There you go.
You pointed at me, but that goes to Camila. Is this the one where they steal food in their purse? Because that makes me upset every time.
Like I've seen an Ed Sheeran music video.
No. It's in the lyrics.
Oh.
He's like, you fill up your bag, I'll fill up my plate.
This, all I know about this song, it was the Grammy winner that made the Grammys go, sorry, we like boys singing about ladies. Do you remember that whole controversy?
No.
This song won either song or record of the year over probably Beyonce and several, and Adele and several more.
Really?
Okay, that's your pick in the Grammys. This led to that Grammy quote that was like, well, then the women need to step it up more if they want to win.
Oh, yuck. Yuck. It's
Shape of You by Ed Sheeran.
I think that is the one with the gross food stealing.
It's
just don't put it in your bag. That's it. Just upsets me.
I mean, unless you've got Tupperware already there.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know the song. I barely know him. He was in some movie and he was kind of funny.
I know he was on an episode of Game of Thrones,
and everybody was like, "What?"
Including me.
Yeah.
Like, how? For why? Yeah.
Is he good looking?
No.
All right.